many different people who come because they want somebody to sit and talk with and tell them their story. And sometimes these people are very damaged in their life. And oftentimes the damage was caused very early on when they got a sense from those who raised them that they could only be loved if they did something exactly this way. You know, if I'm a good girl, if I'm a good boy, you know, mom or dad will love me, grandma or grandpa will love me, my stepmom or stepmom will love me. But if I, you know, cross the line, then I'm a bad person. Then I'm, you know, and what happens is those lessons that sometimes are learned in childhood, in adulthood, people become pleasers. They all of a sudden they start to try to please somebody else, and they put themselves sometimes in very damaging situations because they think they have to be a certain kind of person and they can't really be who they're called to be. Then the lie happens. Because they've experienced it with human beings, they start to think that that's the way they are before God. They think that's the way God treats them. That I'm only good if I get my act together. You know, I would pray more and I would come to church more, but I'm really sinful right now and I've got to get my act together before I can even come to church. Because who knows, the roof might fall down on me if I came in and this was going on. And see the lie in that? Because the lie is told in our first reading today. Our first reading says that the universe is like a grain of sand to God. What that means is not bad news, it's good news. It means that God does not need us. That's good news. God doesn't need us to love him. But in his great mercy, in his great love, he created us so that he could share his love with us. We're good not because we're good. We're good because God created us to be good. God created us to be loved. And that's why we're good. In Zacchaeus, we see that experience as well. You know, Zacchaeus is somebody who's on the outside. You've heard all the homilies before about tax collectors. I won't go there again. But see, Jesus is the one who acts first, right? Zacchaeus, come down. I must be at your house today. See, it was the experience of being loved. It was the experience of the encounter with Jesus that caused him to have conversion. It was not the other way around. You know, Jesus didn't ask him to convert first, and then I'm going to go to your house. And what Zacchaeus does is he, in that moment, changes his whole life because of that encounter. That whole idea of giving half of what he has to the poor. To give to the poor in a Jewish understanding is to do righteous deeds. And it was part of his conversion. He understood that he had not cared for the poor, and he was now going to care for the poor by giving half of what he had. He said, if I have, you know, swindled people, if I had cheated people out of something, the rule was that you had to give restitution. If you stole something, you just didn't give it back. That's actually what the catechism says you have to do, is you have to give that back. But in the law of Moses, it says you need to give four times back. And so he was somebody who is outside the law, but he knew the law. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. When we encounter Jesus, when we encounter being loved by the Lord, it calls forth a response. I mean, this is the whole idea about commitment. We're going to be talking about the spirituality of commitment today as we end our four-week series on the spirituality of stewardship. We started with the spirituality of thanksgiving, that we receive everything as a gift from the Lord. And the only thing that helps us to understand that is to give our life as this Eucharist is a living sacrifice of praise and a living act of thanksgiving. We're called, as we were talking about, the gift of the spirituality of giving. Remember, giving is that space that God opens up. He doesn't need us to save the world, but our giving of our time, giving of our resources, giving of our of who we are, is that space that God opens up in his plan for us to make a difference in the world. Last week we talked about the gift of service, the gift of the spirituality of service, the spirituality of living out our response to God in caring for his church and in caring for the mission of the faith. The spirituality of commitment comes out of a response to the love of God. In my own life, it's not that I struggled with commitment, but I didn't know what that commitment was going to be. You know, I started early on thinking about priesthood. And I ended up going to a high school seminary and college seminary and then theology. And then I was on that cusp where I needed to make a commitment. And as I've told you before, I struggled about whether I could make that commitment to live without a wife and children in a healthy way. And that's when I realized I needed to step back from formation. The experience of rediscovering my vocation was an experience that is one of the mystical experiences of my life. I don't have a lot of mystical experiences. I can count about three in my entire life. But one was as I was really struggling with the fact that I hated what I was doing in the law, and I was really bringing it to prayer. I was at Mass, and I heard Jesus speak to me after communion, "Tim, what I made you for was to be behind that altar and behind that ambo." And at that moment, after I talked with my priest, I knew I had to make a true commitment. See, before when I was in the seminary, I was just thinking about it. Okay? I was thinking about it in the seminary, but I was thinking about it out of the seminary. But I needed to make a commitment. And so the commitment was I quit my job. The commitment was I decided that I was going to apply to be a seminarian for the diocese. The commitment was I didn't look back after that moment. You know, I went through formation, but I was no longer thinking about it. I had committed my life. See, that's part of the spirituality of commitment that the Lord asks us to. When C.S. Lewis talked about when we know about the Lord, when we know about our faith, but we are not ready to make a commitment, it's like living in the foyer of your house. Okay? You've walked in the door, but you don't live your life in the foyer of your house. You live it in the rooms. And once you choose a room to go in, if that's your choice, you can't be in all the other rooms at the same time, right? You choose one. And that's part of this commitment of faith. It's out of love that we decide, yes, Lord, I'm going to live in this room of faith. And what ends up happening is God opens up his life in ways that we can never imagine when we're ready to make a commitment. Now, last week we talked about service. And I'm going to ask, you know, I asked you to consider what your mission and ministry is. And I'm going to ask you to still consider that and make a commitment. But one mission that we do as a parish is Pacem. And I'm going to ask all of us to consider to make a commitment to Pacham, because to do that 2 weeks here in the parish, we have 500 slots of things that we need to do. We only have 1,500 people who come to Mass. Only 1,000 of them are adults. So guess what that means? Every other one of you needs to make a commitment. And so you can't sit there and say, if we're going to do this as a parish, oh, it's wonderful, we do this as a parish. But it's somebody else's job to do that. There's a lot of slots to do stuff. There's a lot of stuff, even if you don't think you can do stuff, there's stuff that you can do. I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider making a commitment. The other thing I'm going to prayerfully ask you to make a commitment is, most of you will have gotten in the mail a commitment card for your giving for this next calendar year. And the reason that we need to do this is that as a finance council, as trying to go forward as a parish, I don't feel like we can prudently, I almost thought it had stopped. All of a sudden that started this afternoon. That's probably a repair bill that is waiting to happen. But we're asking you prayerfully to consider your giving to the parish, to the mission of this parish over the next year. And so this would be the commitment that you would be making starting in January 1. And so I asked you, when you thought about giving, to give it as a priority, first gift, to make it a percentage, to have it to be I can't remember my own four P's. I know prayerful was one of the five, but priority, percentage, progressive, because costs go up, and there was one more.
Please.
What?
Please.
Well, please is a fifth one, but thank you for doing that. Okay. All of a sudden, I'm blanking. I'll have to go back and listen to my own homily 2 weeks ago. But on here, it has your name and how you would consider giving during the year. This allows us to plan prudently. We also put on the back of this card, if you want to kind of judge your giving as a way of understanding the percentage of income that you're doing, there's a way of kind of following on that as well. My hope is that we can increase our giving, because we're not meeting our bills. I know the last 2 weeks the finance council talked to them, but we're not meeting, the income is not meeting the bills. And so that's putting a huge stretch on the parish right now in terms of what we're doing. It may be a cash flow issue. It may all even out at December. But right now, I'm a little scared as your pastor. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here in front of you asking you to make this commitment. I'm asking you, if you didn't bring your card with you, there are some on the pews, and if you want to pass them out, and if you want to go ahead and mark this as part of your, between now and the prayers of the faithful and the collection, you can either put it in the collection, or there is a box out in the commons as well. It really is important for us to understand what our situation is going to be, because we can't be on this edge where we are right now in good conscience. We're either going to have to make some pretty drastic cuts in what we are as a parish, or if we really want to grow, if we want to continue our mission, your commitment helps us to understand what is possible for us to do. Remember, God's not going to strike you dead no matter what you do. Neither is the pastor. Okay? I'm still going to love you no matter what you do. Okay? But this is out of a sense of being loved first. And so how do we make commitments in our life? A commitment to our vocation, a commitment to service, a commitment in our giving, a commitment in our life that comes first from the encounter of being loved by Jesus Christ.